And if I was going to title the sermon this morning, it would be God's plan for you. And I've preached sermon after sermon, you know, God has a plan. God has a plan. God has a plan. You know, but this morning it was just in my spirit, you know. God said, I want you to tell them I have a plan for you. That's a difference than God having a plan. Then you thinking, yes, God has a plan. Yes, God has a plan. But how many knows you got to take it personal that God has a plan for you? God has a plan for you. And he had talking to the children of Israel, put some scripture up. I couldn't write line upon line this morning, but all day yesterday, God was just bringing it up in my spirit. He said, you have to be in agreement with me. He said, you've got to agree with me. Get in agreement with me. And I thought, Lord, help me be in total agreement with you about my life, hallelujah, about my future, about my now, Lord, not just in my future. I'm living in my now. You know, when the Bible says in Hebrews 11, I believe it is, it says, now faith is. It didn't say tomorrow or yesterday. It says today, right now where you're at, faith is. But how many knows that God has a plan for you? And I've knew that for according to Scripture and heard preachers preach it now for 32 or 3 years, however long I've been a Christian, you know. God never ceases to amaze me in my life how He speaks to me through the Word of God. But at the same token, you know, I always think that is why Satan and the flesh keeps God's people at bay with the Word of God. Satan don't want you, and your flesh has to be trained. You can train your flesh to be faithful. You can train your flesh to go to work. You can train your flesh to go to school. You can train your flesh to study. You can train your flesh through your inward man, through your inward calling. We all have an inward calling, and we all are supposed to, as Christians, begin to live from that inward calling. But you don't have that inward calling other than getting born again until you do surrender to Jesus. You don't have that inner knowing that God has a plan specifically for you until you begin to walk with Him, and then He begins through His Word and by His Holy Spirit and through ministers and ministry begin to teach you His ways and teach you His plans for you. I was thinking about our kids, you know, and my grandkids. I do not take it lightly, and I did not take it lightly with my son, you know. And when it come to the things of God, when it come to the Bible, when it come to, I've never been wishy-washy trained to be just letting things happen in my life when I know what the Bible says. See, the Bible and God primarily speaks to His people through your attention to the Word of God. I would not have knew. Put that Jeremiah up there, Travis. Jeremiah. For I know the plans that I have for you. Now he was talking about the children of Israel that had been led into exile for 70 years. And when the 70 years was up, he told them, he said, look, he told him before that, he said, I want you to go here, and I want you to build houses, and I want you to live, and I want you to have this. He said, and then he goes on, and then he tells them, come back, he tells them, but I have plans for you after that. He said, I have plans for you after that. He said, and these people are speaking into your lives, you know, things that I'm not saying into your lives. And I thought about it today. I thought, you know, I stand on, you know, I'm the healed. I'm blessed going in, blessed going out. And people will say, well, who does he think he is? Well, I'm not going to let those kind of people, and you don't need to get on people, speak things into my life that is contrary to what God says. Those people are not anointed of God. I had somebody to tell me one time, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, I want some land. And I told Travis, I said, Lord, I said, maybe one day we need to buy land together. You know, and it wasn't because I wanted to be in partners with him because he didn't pay his bills on time at that time. And I'd co-sign with him. He was always running late and not paying it on time. And my wife and secretary let me know continually every month that he was ruining my credit. So my desire was not based on his goodness. It was not based on his faithfulness. It was based on the desire that I had from the Bible and from the Lord, that I would leave an inheritance to my children's children, and I got him to help me pay for that inheritance. I borrowed the money and he paid half of it. So I got him to pay for that inheritance. It don't say for me to leave an inheritance to my children. It says for me to leave an inheritance to my children's children. So I got him to go in with me, and he paid for half of his kids' inheritance, and that's the way it should be. Now, I just realized that while I'm here under the anointing. So that wasn't something that I planned out. But we're going down the road, you know, one day, and I just said that to him. God has plans for you that you hadn't thought of. God has things now and in your future that you don't have a conception of. But as we walk with him, he said, people speaking things into your life, and they say, thus saith the Lord. He said, and I have not spoken, and it's not me. But we want to make sure that we are not a church, a body that goes around speaking, thus saith the Lord, when we're not really sure that God has said, even out of our goodness, even out of our trying to make things better for people. No. Well, no, we speak what the Lord is saying, right? And we endeavor only to speak that because we want the plans that God has to come to pass in their life and in my life and in your life. Hallelujah. But God wants you to know that he has a plan specifically for you. And I could almost hear some of the children of Israel whenever they're going to the promised land. And they had been following 40 years in that desert. They had been following Caleb and Joshua specifically. They was more than the doubters entered in. They was a generation that come up, I believe, that watched, that looked at Caleb and Joshua while they walked with God in the desert. But those that would not believe him, those that complained and spoke things against what God said, I'm taking you to a good land. They said, we're going to die. They lived out and had what they said. Proverbs 18 says, death and life is in the power of minding your words, Richard. That's good for me to know that. That is wonderful that God said that in there to me. That is wonderful, and I think, oh, I'm not going to say I can't hear. I've had what they call ringing in the ear for years. And to explain it to Teresa one time, I said, what does it sound like? I said, it sounds like a bunch of crickets continually. You ever been about a bunch of crickets continually? Bunch of crickets? And so I'm telling you right now, for 30 years, 25 or 30 years, you're finding out about it. What does God say about my ears? He that has ears to hear. He didn't say go complaining about the ringing in my ears for 30 years. I have by faith heard what I needed to hear. Right? I have kept my words in agreement with God. My hearing is not getting worse. It's getting better the older I get. Right? The only time I don't hear Teresa is when I'm ignoring her. Yeah. She'll say something on the couch, and I'll get up and go in the kitchen. She'll say, did you hear me? And I'll say, yeah, I heard you. Well, that was 7 minutes ago. That was on purpose. Why do I have to be so quick to answer? Right? Hallelujah. Why? Because I know God's plan for me is to have good hearing. And I'm going to stay in agreement with God. Right? Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless they are agreed? Agreed with God. God has a plan, but I've got to agree with that plan. Hallelujah. I'm going to agree with, that's why the Lord told me, I called my pastor up one time while I was in prayer and fasting and seeking the Lord, not for them, I could see the church. I could see the church and I could see things not wasn't the way that it should be. And I didn't know he was on vacation, but I called him up. And I told him, I said, hey, you got a minute? I always am respectful of you if I call you. I say, have you got a minute? Are you busy? Right? Every one of us need to be that way. As busy as we are and important as what we got, we're talking to somebody, right? That might be right in the middle of something, that might be. And now, I'm saying this because that's the way God is. God don't intrude in our stuff. God offers us. And so I always am aware of when I call somebody or talking to somebody of their time and they're busy or they're not. But see, now, my recognition in that don't come from them. It comes from God. And God honors me because I honor. You ought to do that. It's just respect. It's respect, but I'm in a hurry. I know, but it's respect. You know, just like with Travis, I called him and I told him this. He said, yes. He said, I've already knew it. He said, I've got to beat that up because I've not trained up a generation under me. See, some of y'all are preachers here, and I'm thankful for it. You may be called. The plan God has for you, you may be called to be the next pastor of a church. You may be called to be the next. You know, Charlie Kirk was just like me and you. He surrendered his will to God's will, and bad things happened to him all the time. This dude was criticized not just the other day. I've watched this guy and watch him have those debates out of a heart of trying to persuade people about Jesus Christ, about getting them to think on a level of not party or not anything but the Lord. Walked in the other day, and I'm not Charlie Kirk, and I'm not going to try to be like Charlie Kirk. I'm like Jesus, and he was like Jesus. Right? Be imitators of God as dear children, right? Well, you know, I was reading through the news feed the other day and on my Facebook, but anyhow, me and Travis stopped to get some tools, and there was a young guy in one of the places where I buy tools up here at Sneed. And I looked at him and asked him, did he have kids? And he said, yeah, I've got one. I said, one's not good alone. I said, you need to have more kids. And I thought, I'm going to say what Charlie Kirk said, you know. Get married, have as many kids as you can afford. So I told the young man that. Get married. I told him, I said, my grandson's coming up and he's in the door, going to be in the garage door business, you know, and he might need a good worker, and your son might be the next one, so have kids. Did you know I can build that on Scripture? God told Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he said, oh, y'all have all the kids you want to. He didn't say that. He said, but multiply. Replenish the earth. Have kids. I want family. But he don't want a jacked up family on the. He don't want my grandkids jacked up about him. He wants my grandkids to fast and to pray and seek the Lord and find God's will. He wants them with that mentality like Papa. No, he seeks God. And when they ask me about something that they know that I'm not in favor of, they know already what I'm going to say. I say, I don't know about all that. And to them, that's like, it's probably not going to happen. So Aiden come out on his own. And I told him, I said, you explained that your way. But I asked him one day, I said, Aiden, I said, when I say I don't know about all that, what does that mean to you? He's 6'7", fixing to be 8. That means yes. And I thought, man, he'd come up with an answer on his own. So I got to change now. I don't know about all that. Right? Because when I say I don't know about all that, in English to him, it's we're doing it. He's watching a little video game yesterday. Papa had him. I switched my whole life up yesterday because they went on their women's day to the flea market and I heard had a good time, got all their exercise and Western Sizzler and all of that stuff, you know. And so I'm busy and I was going to do some work over to my pastor and work all day over there, you know, and I thought about my grandkids. I thought, well, Lord, you know, I'm going to go spend some time with them today, you know. I'm going to go let them do whatever they want to do, as long as it ain't ungodly. Ungodliness, Papa ain't going to be involved. I'm not going to be in agreement with that because it's not in agreement with God's plan for them. See, your kids and your grandkids might be the next ones that hurls the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we do what we need to do, they won't be warped up like this world is about God. This world and a lot of the church is warped up about God. They don't walk with God like they walk with a God they have created in their mind, not the God that is in their spirit. That's why I said we got to live from within, not from without. The Bible says those that are led by the Spirit, not by 5 red trucks that goes by to determine God's will. Not by, if I was single today and I was going to think about looking for a mate, because I don't like to be alone. It's hard for me to go to sleep when Teresa's not there. And I tell her when I'm taking a nap, get in here and sit down and rest. It's hard for me to take a nap if she's not in the house. So I can just imagine how it would be if all of a sudden I was alone. I would have to turn to Scripture and I would have to say, God, you said I'm never alone, that you're with me always to the end. You said in your word, God, that if I'm not led by my flesh, that I will be led by your Spirit. I'm not going to be led by my emotions. I'm going to be led by your Spirit. I'm not going to go looking for your will. I'm going to allow your will to come to me. Hallelujah. And that would be a place of safety for that person. Hallelujah. And all of that. But see, God has a plan. Plans to prosper you. God's plan is for my son to be prospering. He is. I've stood on that word for him for 33 years, Alex. And it's not because Daddy is a faith man. It's because he has taken up his cross and following Jesus Christ. I told Sandy, I put a statement on Facebook in there, you know, many used to serve God and they were happy when God saved them. They were happy when God asked them to do something in church. They were giving God glory because he's using me. I mean, just putting the music up on the slides at one time and I'm giving God glory at home. I'm like, glory to God. You're using me, God. You're using me to put those up there on the slides in church, God. You're using me. And then I put on there, you know, and people have lost that zeal and lost that desire. I said, there ain't but one answer. I said, and that's go back to your first love. When you was glad God saved you. When you was glad God kept you. When you was glad God began to use you. When you was glad that he saved your marriage. When you was glad you felt good on the inside when nothing was good. You had his peace and his joy. And you had his faith that you knew that you could move mountains in his name. I still feel it today, Jenny. I've drove out that garbage that came to me Wednesday night a week ago. I should have been in the hospital. I laid in the bed Saturday taking Tylenol and shivering in pain and sleeping and all of that to get up to Satan and say, you can't go to church Sunday. And I told him, oh, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of myself together as the manner of some are. Satan, I will go to church. And I told my flesh, I said, you don't tell me what I do. I tell you what you do. And in the name of the Lord Christ, Jesus, you are going to preach Sunday. You are going to the house of God. Who am I talking to? I'm not talking to this flesh man. I'm talking to the flesh man, but I'm talking out of my spirit man, because the Bible tells me God's plan is that it says in there, I can do all things through Christ who strength. I believe that. I believe it. Let God, I come, and I told Satan, I said, this sickness didn't come from God. I said, it didn't come from heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. There's none there. It came through the authority that you had through the curse that came on this earth through Adam and Eve, and I've took up the cross. And that curse stops with me before it manifested. I told he said, well, if you was, you wouldn't have that. I said, no. I said, God went on and explained to me in the Bible. You idiot. If I was going to cuss anybody, it'd be him. Christians ought not to be cussing. We ought not to be cussing. Get the little slang words out of our vocabulary. Throw in some love there. We ought not to be cussing. We're not cussing Christians. We've been redeemed. Monty just taught us the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in Scotty. Does it you? Have you been born again? If you not, be like Monty, 2014, come up here to an altar, came under an anointed word that I don't even remember because I'm just preaching whatever he tells me. And he realizes he needs Jesus Christ. And he comes down here and gives his heart to Jesus 11 years ago. And he's not been the same since. He's beginning to not be hard-headed and stubborn. Now, we've had to help him. He tells us I'm as hard-headed and stubborn. I'm like, well, we got a hammer for that. It's called the Word of God, right? Well, that's the way we all, I'm asking you to help me while I walk. And I believe that I'm going to help you while you walk and develop. God don't just cut us off. He's got a plan, and he knows the path that he can lead us in to get his purpose to prosper you. If I worked at some restaurant doing hamburgers or cooking, I wouldn't be in that kitchen and say, this is the end of the rope for me. I'm only going to make $7 an hour. This is it. I'd stand in there and I'd say, glory to God, I'm going to tithe $7 today, God. God, when Sunday comes around, but God, if I make $130, Lord, you're getting $13.20. I'm going to round it up to $14, God. And God, I'm going to believe you. This is not your full plan for me. I'm going to believe that you're going to prosper me right where I am. And you're not going to bring harm to me. You're going to bring your purpose into my life. I wouldn't stand there and let life throw whatever it wants at me, knowing full well that God's plan is to prosper me. You need to go home and you need to get this right here and say, God, I don't know your full plan for me, but according to your word, praise God, and according to what I heard at church this morning, I believe he was inspired by your Holy Spirit, by you, that you're prospering me. God asked me to give my whole salary away last week. He's never done it that I know of. He told me Monday, he said, I want you to give the rest of your salary this week away. I thought, maybe I won't make much. God, man, it's easy to give 50. But the whole week, these weeks. Now look, I went down there, what I told you just now, at 27 years old, working at the same place that I worked for on and off for 10 years, but I had a different vision. I'd got born again. I'm in the same place, same boss, same circumstances, same ungodly people, same dope smokers worked there, same religious folk worked there, but I had a God on the inside of me, and I was going to a church that preached under the anointing, and I had a praise and worship leader that I had to get over jealousy over my wife with. I know Travis ain't that cute. He disagrees. He's made in God's image, he says. Guess where he got it at? We taught it to him as a young kid out of the Bible. We didn't teach Travis you can do anything you want to do. That's not biblical. We taught him whatever God has put into your life, whatever God's plan is for you, that's what you will be able to carry out. So we got him at a young age when he gets up looking for God's will. What is God's plan? What is God? When you do that to your kids and your grandkids, you have done exactly what God wants you to do. You have took their attention off of them and their desires and their will and their plans onto God's desires, God's will, God's plan. And then is when they will succeed, when they follow God. And they will. Travis is miserable without my God. He can't even get up, look in the mirror, and stand himself without Jesus. I put him, Chris, in touch with the God that I would not be here before you today. I would have committed suicide. And I wasn't one of them draw you out a letter and let you know exactly when I'm going to do it, knowing that you will show up and stop me. That was not the way that I did it. One of my sisters found me one time because Teresa had left me. I mean, who wouldn't kill theirself over that? Whoo. Right? Y'all wouldn't. Now, I just made that extreme. I mean, she's still just as beautiful today. And, you know, if I brought her flowers and she rejected my khaki pants and short, my ankles showing today, I would still throw them out the window and get mad and leave. But God is a good God. She left me one time and I went and I borrowed Mama's car, I think I did, and took me a bunch of pills. I took a bunch of them. I just took the whole bottle. I thought, I'm done this time. And my oldest sister, which has gone on to be with the Lord right now, you know, she found me passed out in her parking lot down there. That's as far as I made it. I don't even know where I was going. And I passed out. And she just happened by and found me. And when she got me to the hospital and they pumped all of that out that hadn't dissolved, they told her, they said, if you'd have been one more minute, he would not have made it. One more minute of all the dissolving of that medicine in his stomach, he would not have made it. I would have done went unconscious. So I'm not trying to tell, what I'm trying to tell you is here I am 30 something years later, still in love with that God, still in love with how he saved my future, how he turned my life around, and I have a fine son that I hadn't even thought of then. I have a fine grandson and a granddaughter that Satan meant, John 10, put that John 10 up there. Satan wants to kill and to steal, and I'm not going to get on him for you today. If you can't read it from the Bible and say, hey, this sucker has a plan for my life and my kids and my grandkids, and bless God, not on my watch are they going to have them. He's not going to have my kids. He's not going to have my grandkids. And it ain't just down, you know, begging God to take care of. No, it's you fasting and praying and taking authority, finding out who you are in this Bible and what you've been given, and then taking authority over them. And then when they tell you we don't want to fast, Travis told us we don't want to fast. I don't want to fast. I told him I didn't ask you. I'm your daddy. I didn't ask you if you want to fast. I didn't make him do without food, Chris. That was been cruel to me. But his gaming, his friends, we made him do without at the time we was fasting. and we read the Bible together. We made him fast. As for me and my house, don't say it if you're not going to do it. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Don't say it if you're not going to do it. But if you really mean it, if you want God to help you and God to anoint you, then you rise up in Him and you tell Him. You don't have to tell the church, and you don't need your gospel friends. You just stand up with Jesus Christ and you tell Him, according to your word, as for me and my house, Lord, we gonna serve you. That means we gonna fast. That means we're gonna sacrifice things for you. I didn't make Travis go to all of the revivals, but when it was time to go to church, he didn't have to wonder if we're going. He didn't have to wonder when my church was having services, he didn't have to wonder. He did not have to wonder. The Lord spoke to me this morning. He said, "Son, did you know that your neighbors know where you're going?" I said, "Every one of them do, Lord. They know where I'm going. When I leave on Wednesday evening, they know I'm going to church, Richard." when I leave coming down here for Sunday school, oh, that Sunday school, I have to get up too early. I'm not getting on that. I guarantee you, let them call me up and say, "Hey, Scotty, you'll be here Monday morning now at 6:30. I got 4:14 by 14s that I'm going to let you put in. I've already got the doors. It's come first serve, first come, first serve. But God, I'll go to bed early. I'll be there at 5 o'clock early. I'll be there early because they're going to make me $3,000 or better. I'm telling you the truth. I'm a diligent man in that. I got it out of the Bible where the Bible says to Scotty, the hand of the diligent, not to the ones that are late. I told Travis the other day, I said, "Ooh, miracles are happening. You're on time for work." It's not okay for you to be late for work every day. It's a Christian. I'm not on to you. I'm telling you, God has a plan for you. He may want you to own that company. He may want to give you that company. But He's got to see you go and run that company. And be good to those people. Be willing to help your co-labor. Teresa called me one time. "I need you to help me this evening if you can when you get in." I said, "What you got going on?" "We're going to have to clean the chicken manure out of the chicken house." And I thought, oh, God. She's got 200 chickens. We ain't done that in a long time. I'm thinking, oh, my God. So I go up there, you know, and I thought, man, it's my duty to take pressure off of her. Husbands, y'all supposed to love her like Christ loved the church. What does that mean? Pile all the work on her? Is that way he does you? Pile all his burdens over on you? No, he takes them, don't he? He takes all them burdens. You know, and I thought, if I have to hire somebody, bless God, So I go up there and got me a tractor with a front end loader and got her a new lawnmower on the way. Come in there and she said, "What is that?" I said, "I'm here to help you, baby." I thought, God supplies all of my needs. I need some help here, Lord. I'm going to be in chicken manure after work up to my eyeballs. But my purpose for doing that is I set out, I'm going to help my wife. I could have told her, "Hey, you know, that's what, you know, you're my helpmate." So all of y'all husbands and teach your daughters. Teach your sons that you're going to have to love your wife like Christ loved it. He gave his life for it. If you're going to serve God and you're going to have God's anointing on your marriage and His supernatural and His favor to give you your cars and your houses and your finance, seek first the kingdom. It's all scriptural about what I'm saying. Luke 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to us." It don't say, "Scotty, you're going to have to work, you know, 80 hours a week in order for me to bless your family. You're going to have to spend all your time at work and no time with your kids." Nah, you put Him first. Got in the car and I told the grandkids yesterday, I said, "Listen, Papa will be gone 30 minutes, 35. I said, "Y'all get some worms dug." I built them a worm bed. You know, they ain't got to go away. They go dig worms. And so anyhow, I got back, you know, to John about 35, 40 minutes. Got back, and they didn't even get out of the house. And one of them stuck their head out the door. I said, where's them worms? I said, you ain't. I said, how are we going to fish without worms? Well, Papa, and then the other one stuck her head out. I said, where's them worms? I told y'all to get some worms dug. Y'all quiet. What is that? Is that abuse? I mean, is that abuse? I mean, I'm asking, do y'all think that's abuse? Mental abuse to the kids, the poor kids? Shock them right quick. Papa, you go get the worms, and then we'll go. No, I was putting it blatant to them out of what I said. See, don't forget what you tell you, kids or your grandkids, because that's God. Because God told me one time, he said, if you want me and you want my anointing, and you want, he said, you're going to serve me my way. He just simply, and I didn't take it. I mean, I come out of February 17, mama knocking a pan head with a pan, you know, if you just got on her nerves real good. So I didn't think that was harsh, Janet. I thought at least it didn't kill me like mom. Right? I think what's wrong is Satan has lullabied Christian mamas and daddies and grandparents down to where they don't want them to feel nothing emotional. Well, you just going to happen. They're going to get in this world and they're going to meet the devil and they're going to be in the world where the world don't love them like you do. God told me one time I kept Travis from all trouble up till he was about 15 years old that I possibly could. Because I thought I don't want him to experience what I've experienced and blah, blah, blah. And the Lord spoke to me one day and he said, you are going to destroy him. I thought, I would never destroy my son. I would never destroy my son. He said, you are keeping him from hardship. He said, you're not letting him ever make choices in hardship. And then when he's out from under you, I only had 3 years left, Nita. At that time, he was about 15 years old. They're coming 18. I'm telling you, my parents ain't telling me what to do tomorrow. Don't be rebellious and do that stuff. Keep the honor of your parents so that you want to go see them right after you get married. I mean, the honeymoon ain't over and you want to run to them. You want that kind of a relationship, right? You don't want the enemy to get you feeling like away from the things that God has put in you that will help you for a lifetime. Satan kills, steals, and destroys. Y'all okay? Hallelujah. God's not getting on to us. God has a good plan. And you know what? We can sit here and we can read that, but we got to say, what about our children? What about our grandchildren? You got a plan for them. God, what is my part in this thing, Lord? What is my part to make sure that they understand what I understand, that you want a good life for them, not to destroy them, but Lord, to prosper them, that they would have hope for the future. Pat, I'm only 59 years old, but I'm looking forward to 80 when I can tell God, like Caleb and Joshua in there, God, give me that mountain going down the road the other day. And y'all might as well get ready to prosper, because I'm a believer. I believe in God for big things. We're going to have a building. We're going to have ministry. I told Travis the other day, we was talking about God's doors. I've been in it 33 years. I'm in the will of God. Wherever you at, you stay in the will of God. You stay in the will of God and let God prosper you right in His will. Don't go trying to find your own thing that you think will work out in your life. Find what God wants you to stay with it, because that's where you're going to prosper. I told Travis the other day, I said, there's probably going to come a day, son, when you ain't going to need this garage door business. I said, I've been believing God for years that Faith Way Christian Center, which is His ministry, that He's letting me be a part of, will grow to the place to where we're sending the gospel all over the world. We're sending CDs and we're reaching the world with the gospel of the... I said, and you're going to be needed in the ministry. They're getting paid. Some of you need to dream bigger than what you are. Oh, I might work at Faithway Christian. Bling. Bling. What do you think? That I've been serving God all this time and He says, son, I want you to leave a legacy and I'm just going to lay down at 80 and say, it's over. I've had a good life, Lord. It's over. Oh, it's over. No, I'm going to be fanning y'all on. Get up, run. Bless God, you go to church and you be faithful and you believe God against all odds. Bless God, God told you to go in the streets. Don't go run to man, say how to do it. You just go to God and say, yes, sir, where do I go? God, I'm going. He tells you to go to the nursing homes. Don't say, God, you understand, I've got kids. God, you understand, I've got grandkids. Yes, and He wants to see you go before them and show them that God has something out of you that's not favorable to you, and He wants them to see your response towards God. That's how you teach them. Give me the Mark 4. Woo, yeah, whatever it is. Beth asked Teresa, said, where's his Bible? Teresa come to me and said, where's your Bible? I said, it's at home. I said, does she need it? I'm thinking, what does she need my Bible for? You know, I give her the paper. The Bible wasn't doing me a lot of good this morning. I had to hear from God. I mean, oh, that's a good thing. If a Bible ain't doing you a lot of good, you need to dwell in that secret place that Monty was talking about, where your strength comes from. Then you can turn to the Word, and it's your shield and buckler, right? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. They will say of the Lord, He is my God, He's my fortress, He is my rock, my God in whom I trust. Hear a word, then God will be my shield and my buckler. It'll be my strong stance. Hallelujah. But he said here, Jesus told him, he said, and when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever will come after me, let him have his own way. It's not what he said. He said, let them what? Deny themselves. See, my grandkids and my son went through, and my grandkids they're in a place where they're having to learn how you're not going to have it your way in everything. You're not going to have it your way in everything. And if they don't learn it with mom and dad, and me and Teresa are in total agreement with them, even though there's some things that I don't agree, they make choices. But them two grandkids never know it. Do you hear me now? They never know it. I will dishonor God if I teach them to dishonor mom and dad. Right? Now, mom and dad, I might say something to them, I don't like that, or blah, blah, blah. Not, usually not. But because, I mean, look, Eddie, that's my brother. He comes up here and we got 40 acres. Not that many. But he parks where he parks. And I walked out there and I thought, what'd he park there for? You know, we got parking all around this place. I'm going to assume he's not lazy. I'm parking in the door. But I walked back there, you know, and I looked and I thought, oh, well, he's blocking us in, you know, and that's fine. And then I thought, but this is what I thought. I'm making a point to what I'm saying. Eddie ain't done nothing wrong. I mean, Eddie's Eddie. We only got one Eddie, and we wouldn't have no other Eddie. Eddie, you know. Praise the Lord. And that's a good thing. But you know what I thought? And this is the way you all think. You know, I thought in 45 minutes from now, that's not going to matter. Where he parked, how he parked. I think he should have bought a yellow truck. He looks better in yellow. But he likes white. He thinks he looks better in white. I think his opinion's better than mine, right? I believe I look good to God. Some people are like, Scott, he's getting a little ugly. That's your opinion. I'm going to keep my confession and my thinking in line with God. I'm created in His image. I'm going to be in agreement in all of what I said this morning. Simply God is saying, get in agreement with me. about your kids. Get in agreement with me about prospering you financially. Get in agreement with me about your health. Stop speaking contrary to what the Bible says about your life. Don't speak you're a nobody because you are a somebody. And don't bite that song, I'm just a nobody trying to tell somebody. I know it sounds spiritual, but I don't sing that. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that me and you are created in the image and likeness of God. The Bible says me and you as God is, so are we in this earth. God ain't going around singing, I'm just a nobody. You are not a worm anymore. You're not an old sinner. You was a sinner. You was saved by grace. And now you are born again. You're a king and a priest to get in agreement with God. Then you will think different. Then you will feel different. Then you will act different. You will go around. No, my grandkids don't wonder. I get in there and we're going fishing. And I say, well, it's hard for me to believe that y'all chose fishing when you could have chosen. And Aubrey said, what? And I said, well, I said, it could have been shopping. Could have been shopping. Y'all done dug all the worms. They done dug all the worms and all of this, man. I mean, it's done dead set. I'm going, I'll stock the pond. We're going to catch some fish. You know, and they're like, well, Aubrey says, let's see what Aiden says. And I said, well, what do you say? Well, let's see what, Aiden. Hey, Aiden. He wasn't even paying attention. She said, hey, ask it again, Papa. I said, you know what I said. Say it. And so she says, hey, Aiden, Papa said we could have chose to go shopping. Like that. And then she said, hey, and I got an idea, and we can see if after church tomorrow, me and Grandma and Mom will have time after church to go fishing. We can replace it. And I said, well, I don't know about all that now. Well, they chose to go shopping. You know, and I said, where y'all want to shop? Because I'm thinking, I'll go anywhere on this planet. That's the way God does me. Sometimes he'll say, why don't you just go fishing? Why don't you just go to Harbor Freight and just enjoy yourself? Why don't you just stay home? Why don't you go up there and get on that tractor that you ain't going to do nothing but you like it? There's times that God does that to me. He said, just do whatever you want to do. He knows I'm not going, I don't know too many Christians, I know a few, but I don't know too many Christians that's just sitting around studying how they can sin and get away with stuff. I do know a few. They're all time trying to conjure up what they can get for themselves. That's only because they're self-seeking and self-willed, that's all. They're not really willing to take up the cross and follow him. So God wants us in agreement with him. I'm in agreement that my marriage is good. It might not look good, but I'm going to stay in agreement with him. My business at times, it don't look too good. Great challenges come. People won't pay. I've even had to forgive some here lately to keep from getting in the flesh. I'd have to tell Satan, you're not going to use that to bring me out of the spirit. I would rather give the money away and stay in the spirit than I would to come out of the spirit, go beat them up, go to jail, lose my church, and lose my Christianity. Right? I mean, if y'all heard it on, y'all would have it on Facebook before I got, I mean, Samantha's got one of them, what do you call them things? She knows before they get locked up. Whatever it is. Huh? Oh, it's April. I've just thought about it. I've thought about her calling. What happened to Scotty? She would know about it before I got to jail. I'd still be in the police car. You know, and I thought, you know what? Satan's not going to use this. Why? Because I'm denying myself. I'm denying my right to get mad and angry. And God wants some of you to forgive. I thought about this. I'm going to close with this. See, we used to have Sunday night, so I felt like I got 4 hours. I mean, I got Sunday off now for 2.5 years. Sunday afternoon, I feel like I'm in heaven. But, you know, on there, and here Charlie Kirk gets shot. Assassinated, martyred. He was martyred for Jesus. Simply to me, they can say what they want to say. He served Jesus. The Bible, I mean, they're losing their lives for Jesus overseas like it's happening every now and then we see it here. It just hits home here. But they're actually all over the world laying their life down really for Jesus Christ. Well, he gets, you know, and then gets up there and they have the memorial. Wasn't the funeral, the memorial. They're celebrating Charlie's what they're doing, you know, and everything. And then here she gets up there, and she comes in, Erica, and my heart bleeds for her. Her husband's gone. She has her kids now. Has the vision that God gave her and her husband. I mean, the whole legacy thing. And carrying on what God started in them. It wasn't just like this church, if you're supposed to be here. It's not that God started a ministry here and just one person is supposed to carry that thing. No. You're supposed to get involved. You're supposed to be praying and fasting and lifting up the leadership, no matter what it is, whether it's me or Monty or Teresa, because you might be the next one. And if the Bible says, he that waters will be watered. Well, anyhow, she gets up there on the national stage, and I imagine it's shown all over the world, Eddie. I don't know. It's in other countries. We've seen it. You know, that was God. God did that. And I heard, you know, they're making an idol out of him and all that stupid stuff, you know. I heard a lot of that stuff, and I thought, he's not a God to me. He's one that served my God, and I'm going to honor him. I'm going to honor him, and I'm going to pray for his family. I'm not going to idolize him, but he laid his life down. He took up his cross, and he followed the Lord. I believe it. Well, but my point, here she comes in on the scene, and here comes our president, and he's anointed for war. Right? He's anointed to take out our enemies. Right? He's anointed to bring justice. Right? But here she is, anointed to bring love. So he gets up there, you know, and he tells about all he can't stand, his enemies and all of that, and I'm there, and I'm like, I'm not liking that, Lord. I'm not liking that, you know. But I like Trump. I mean, I'm praying for him, and I believe he's in there by the Lord. But I didn't like that because I thought, no, we got to have forgiveness. Well, here she comes in there and you know, comes up on the scene, and she goes through telling about it and a little bit or whatever she did. And then she stops, and she said, as far as his Kirk's assassination, and I knew it. I thought, she's going to do it. She's fixing to forgive him like Jesus did and Stephen did. She's fixing to do it. And I thought, I could feel it on the inside. I could feel the anointing on the inside. And she said, far as his assassin, she said, I forgive him. And then right after that, Trump comes back and he's under conviction about it. But he still can't change. He knows he's in trouble. He got Christians surrounding him. But even after that, I thought, you know what? Praise God. There she is on a worldwide stage and just shot my husband and killed him. That my family just started and forgave. And you know what? That rung out across America, and I believe across the world. Well, a couple of days later, I was on my news feed, and Tim the Two Man. How many knows who I'm talking about? Tim the Two Man? Yeah. Tim the Two Man. He's had unforgiveness all these years. Somebody shot and murdered his daddy a lot of years ago. I didn't know that. I've watched his shows, Tim the Two Man, and all of that stuff. And he's seen that. And then he went to God and he asked God to forgive the man for shooting his daddy. And what God's saying here, you know, it might not be that extreme for you, but God wants you to forgive. People. Forgive people. I mean, forgive them no matter what they've done to you. It's your freedom that you're getting. It's your freedom. And you know what? I thought, God, you caused one woman to stand up in a real heart because she loves you. You can't forgive your enemies without Jesus. Jesus is the reason. She said, I forgive because I know that Charlie, that's what Charlie would do. And you know what I realized? The very one that shot him is the ones he was after. The messed up, the jacked up, the lost without Jesus, you know. And what an honor that he would give his life reaching them. That's what Jesus did. Praise God. So I want you to honor God in this by just telling God about your sickness, about things that comes against your finance and all that. I'm in agreement with you, God. God, you're going to prosper me. I mean, it's not enough for you to hear it. The Bible says be doers, be embracers of the word and not just hearers, because that's where the results comes from. Let's bow our heads. Father, we